God stated in the book of Genesis and throughout Scripture that those who bless Israel will be blessed by God, and those who curse Israel will be cursed by Him. Certainly, it couldn't be clearer that Israel holds a special place in the heart of God, yet recent decisions by the United Nations place His people once again in the crosshairs of the world. What's the truth behind the so-called two-state solution, and what effect will the last-minute efforts by John Kerry and the Obama administration to castigate and minimize support for Israel have on the new Trump administration?
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Stand in the Gap Weekend. I'm your host, Sam Rohr, and today we'll be discussing the ongoing efforts by those who hate Israel to take what rightfully belongs to her and, in effect, destroy God's people entirely from the face of the earth. Our program this week is taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily broadcast, which originally aired on January the 6th. Our guest that day was Middle East expert and author I.Q. al-Rasuli. Our topic centered on the recent vote by the United Nations condemning Israel's settlement activities and the ensuing speech by Secretary of State John Kerry in defense of their decision. This brought up a fascinating dialogue about the history behind the 1948 and the 1967 events in Israel and what the media and pro-Arab allies have attempted to hide from the ongoing narrative in the Middle East. We're going to open up the program with our first segment covering the news headline from that day, transitioning into the theme of the day. Joining IQ and myself are my co-host, Evangelist Dave Kistler and Dr. Gary Dahl.
Well, the historic and most significant anti-Israel vote by the United Nations on December 23rd, just a couple of weeks ago now, and then the impassioned anti-Israel clarifying speech by John Kerry on December 28th, they continue to reverberate around the world. A question is, we're going to talk about on this program, is why did this vote with U.S. support and encouragement occur? Why now? Is a two-state solution a good idea or and even possible? And what did John Kerry actually mean when he said that Israel could be either Jewish or democratic, but it could not be both? Now, to give us another view of these strange and dangerous comments, I'll put them that way, we're going to bring in our guest today, I.Q. al-Rasuli, to comment on this issue as well as his views on the media and Donald Trump and some other issues as they come up. We're going to begin these issues in segments 2 through 4 through the balance of the program today on Stand in the Gap Today. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and we'll be joined by David Kistler and Gary Dahl. Now, Matt, I'd like to pick up on one current item today, news item, like we do often in the program, and for just a little bit of comment. And it has to do with this. The Ford Motor Company just announced that they would build a new plant in Michigan instead of Mexico, and that they would create 700 new jobs there in Michigan. The UK has also just announced that the UK has created more jobs, and has the strongest economic growth rate in the last 6 months of any nation in Europe, including or in the world, including the United States. I think it's amazing to see some real progress in these couple of areas. And I'm going to ask IQ about his opinion about what's happening there in the UK and the attitude of people there relative to that, since that occurred right on the heels of Brexit. But Dave, let me go to you first in this matter of the Ford Motor Company. It was interesting that they announced it, and it was a big announcement, and almost immediately the Mexican president, Mexican government decried it as a horrible thing that they were doing. Barack Obama jumped right out in front and took credit for it and said it was because of all that he has done. Then the Ford president then came out and refuted Obama, saying he had nothing to do with it, and gave Trump the credit. Amazing. Now, with Ford now being the fifth of the sixth major company to announce major growth or expansion here in the U.S., Dave, I just want to ask you, what do you think about that, and what's that? What's happening? Because this is significant.
Well, Sam, I think it's this. I think that the president of Ford Motor Company, I think Ford Motor Company as a whole, and these other companies that are announcing expansion plans understand something. We now have a leader in the White House. And that is what is accounting for their change of plans. Can I just share this with you, Sam? It was said years ago, and I think it bears being underscored here, that a mediocre leader tells, a good leader explains, an excellent leader demonstrates, but a great leader inspires. And I think what we're watching happen is Donald Trump as a real leader, and I'm going to even put the term great in front of that. I think he's a great leader. I think he's proven that, and I think he's inspiring confidence after 8 years of very selfish, self-absorbed, self-aggrandizing, snarky lack of leadership that we've had in the White House. I think now people in the business world are encouraged, and they're ready to move forward.
Gary, let me go to you on that, because Dave really identified the whole concept that attitude, vision, leadership creates an attitude. And really, it must be that, because it certainly has been no matter of law. Congress hasn't even met under this president yet. No law, no regulation change. Nothing has happened, other than the fact that somebody is at this point going to be inaugurated as president shortly. But Gary, from a biblical perspective, I'm going to bring in a component here. When things good happen, my contention is there must be some element of biblical principle that's connected to it. What are we seeing perhaps being worked out here on the earliest standpoint that is producing at this point these things, which are good decisions on the part of these businesses, appropriate decisions? What's tie it together with a biblical principle here that we can relate this to?
Well, Sam, you remember Lee Iacocca used to say, and I'm not sure who actually coined the phrase, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that that ties into the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church, I think, of Laodicea, where he says, you're neither hot, you're cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I want you to think about that sometime, theologically speaking. But nevertheless, somebody's getting out of the way, so now that somebody else can lead, and I'm excited about that. But talking about attitude, you know, a positive attitude based upon the right foundational, and that would be the scripture foundation, will always bring a lasting biblical result. We know that from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 teaches us that a positive attitude will bring victory. And a positive attitude energizes people to do the right thing. And I think that that's what we're seeing here with Donald Trump being on the scene right now. He's bringing this positive attitude based upon biblical principles that's leading this nation to begin to think and act right. And we're seeing it in the business world.
Biblical principles applied always work no matter who applies them, even if they don't know what they are. Right, Gary?
That's right. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, you don't have to know them for them to work.
That's Amen. Right, which is a beautiful thing. And I think we need to tie this together and have people watching this as we go forward. Now, IQ, I'm going to bring you in right now in the balance in a minute and a half here of this first segment. And you are overseas. That's where you're calling from. You bring us to a European perspective. The UK is claiming that they have the strongest economy now in the world. The last 6 months since Brexit have astounded the bankers. It's astounded everybody. What's the attitude in the UK and Europe towards what's happening there now?
Well, in the UK, it's positive. In Europe, only the opposition parties are celebrating what the British government has done. Because every single opposition party in Europe wants to be out of the European Union. Every single one of them. And they will be out, because there are elections in Europe this year, 2017. Angela Merkel is one of them in Germany. They have them in Italy, in Spain, in Austria. And the trends are many, many voters have woken up to the greatest threat to their life, the Islamic invasion of Europe. and they want this to be stopped. And the only way they will stop it is when they get out of the European Union. That's going to happen.
So you're saying that really the Brexit situation, as we've talked before, it's a national sovereignty issue, nationalism that is coming forth that really says, people, we can do better acting on our own than we can being told from the top what to do. That's happening, isn't it?
That is exactly what's happening, and that's why Donald Trump also won.
It is indeed.
Nationalism in America also.
It is indeed.
Americans have woken up to the fact that the international governments were trying to rule the United States of America through the United Nations.
It is indeed, IQ. It is indeed, and we're going to have to go on because of the break here. Ladies and gentlemen, we start out a good program today. We're going to continue on the theme. We're going to go now with IQ Avrasooli, author of Unveiling Islam, our geopolitical expert, Islamic expert. We're going to talk about Kerry's two-state solution, why it happened, and what was wrong with what he said.
We'll be right back with our continuing discussion as we begin to unravel what's at stake with the United Nations' December 23rd vote to give parts of Jerusalem to the Palestinians. If you've just joined us, let me remind you that the Bible makes it very clear that those who love God will love His people, and those who know the Bible understand that the land of Israel has been promised to the Jews in covenant form, a promise that remains to this day. So in this next portion of the program, we'll be hearing a brief history lesson on the 1948 British mandate that provided for Jewish homeland in the Middle East. So what happened, and why wasn't this issue solved 70 years ago when this mandate was given? Stay tuned as IQ is going to give us some surprising answers.
I'd like to welcome now to the program, officially, IQ Avrasooli. He's the author of the trilogy, Unveiling Islam, world expert on Islamic and world religions, and provides for us on this program a different and fresh approach oftentimes on a number of geopolitical issues. And with that, I want to welcome you officially to the program today, IQ. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start out here first, IQ. As we mentioned before, the Kerry's speech to the UN was significant. 2 days before Christmas, the UN voted to condemn Israel for a number of things. They ordered Jerusalem, part of it, be given to the Palestinians. The U.S. abstained from that vote, although it appears that they really did orchestrate it. About a week later, on December 28th, John Kerry made a speech, impassioned. I watched it, listened to it a couple of times, actually, defending the U.S. position and outlining what he said was necessary for peace in the Middle East. And he made many outstanding astounding statements, including this one I want to play right now about what Israel, he said, had to do in order for peace to exist. And then with this very short clip, you will hear a very short response from Benjamin Netanyahu. So if we could play that, Russ, and then IQ, then I'm going to pose you a question.
But here is a fundamental reality. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. And it won't ever really be at peace.
Israelis do not need to be lectured about the importance of peace by foreign leaders. Israel's hand has been extended in peace to its neighbors from day one, from its very first day. We pray for peace. We've worked for it every day since then. And thousands of Israeli families made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our country and advance peace.
Well, IQ, there it is. Just a short excerpt from that speech by John Kerry. He made a lot of other bizarre comments in there, saying, including that the Obama administration has been the singular, finest, and best defender that Israel has ever had. Statements like that just really confound the average thinking person in their hearing of that. But in your opinion, IQ, what drove John Kerry to make such an amazing statement, as he did here, that Israel must either be Jewish or democratic, but that they cannot be both if there was going to ever be a single state, meaning Israel not divided up with part Palestine or Islamic or Arab, whatever it is, and Israel. What was, fill in the blanks on that, what he was saying, because that was astounding.
I can't fill like a blank because it's stupid. The statement is utterly stupid. You've got to give me a few minutes to explain to your listeners what the news media will never tell you. For example, every Arab news article that I read made fun of Obama's action at the UN because they asked, why did Obama not do this 8 years ago or even 1 year ago? Why did he wait till 5 minutes to midnight to do so? Their only conclusion, and it's a very logical conclusion, was to spite Bibi of Israel for standing up to him all these 8 years. It's a good question. Why did he wait now? He could have done it 4 years ago. He could have done it 8 years ago. He could have done it a year ago, but he didn't. He waited last minute. I would like to share with our listeners facts that not a single main media will bring to their attention, as usual, in a concise and precise manner. In his despicable and one-sided over one-hour speech, Kerry, who castigated and threatened Israel, did not once mention, not once, the numerous times that the Israelis took risks for peace with the so-called Palestinians and Arabs, only to get terrorized, murdered, and threatened. Dear Americans, not a single news media has pointed out to you that the two-state solution is not a new idea, as Kerry falsely implies. Because 70 years ago, I repeat, 70 years ago, in 1947, UN Resolution 181 decreed that the British mandate over Palestine should terminate on the 15th of May, 1948, and the territory to be divided between two states, Arab and Jewish. Dear Americans, this was 70 years ago, not yesterday. By the way, not once is there any mention in the United Nations resolutions of a state called Palestine or a people called Palestinians. Even the refugees were called Arab refugees, not Palestinian refugees. In spite of the fact that the part of the territory designated for the Jews was disjointed and almost impossible to defend in the long term, the Jews accepted. But the Arabs, in and outside the Palestinian mandate, refused to allow any Jewish state to exist, as Abdulrahman Azzam Pasha, the first Secretary General of the Arab League, publicly declared to the whole world that the establishment of a Jewish state would lead to a war of extermination and a momentous massacre which will be spoken of like the Mongolian massacres and the Crusades. Why didn't anybody mention this?
IQ, let me ask you a question. I want to follow up. I know you've already alluded to something that I want to ask you about, but later in the comments that we just heard a portion of by Benjamin Netanyahu, he went on and said basically that the refusal of the quote-unquote so-called friends of Israel to understand that a two-state solution is really no solution at all because the Palestinian leadership, they are terrorists. They denounce the existence of Israel, and they don't want any Israeli presence at all. You said that you believe the president, President Obama, has not done anything like he did at the UN with this orchestrated vote and our abstention from voting. He didn't do that in his early in his 8 years. He didn't do it a year ago because it was a slap in the face here as he's exiting, a slap in the face to Bibi Netanyahu. Is that the sum total of it, or is there something more sinister going on in the motivations of Barack Obama?
Well, the most sinister part is that he's a Muslim. And as a Muslim, this is the goodbye for Jews and Israel. And by the way, people don't also understand this. When he gave the eastern part to the Muslims, he gave not only the Jewish part, he gave also three important holy Christian parts to the Muslims.
That's correct. That is exactly
right. Again, they'll tell you that. They didn't tell you, did they? They never mentioned it to you.
Wow. Wow.
So what do we have? We have a Muslim who literally, as a defiance at the last moment, he proved himself again. I've always said that he was a Muslim traitor-in-chief in the White House. I never changed my mind. I'm not going to change my mind now. He proved it. 8 years he supported Islam. 8 years he supported the Muslim Brotherhood. He was the only man on earth who threatened anybody who slanders the Prophet of Islam with destruction. No Muslim did it. No Imam did it. Only Obama.
You know, IQ, we've talked about that a lot on this particular program, and of course we agree with you 100%, and I think there's a lot of proof out there to establish that fact, that he is, if he's not totally 100% Muslim, he sure is Muslim-friendly, but I would take the former rather than the latter on that. But just approaching this from another different perspective, you know, there are some who are saying that the United Nations will move in the near future to do one of two things. Number one, to give de facto permission for the Islamic world, such as Hamas or Hezbollah or the Palestinians or whatever, to attack Israel. And or number two, to give the green light for Israel to move proactively against these groups as they align themselves to attack Israel. What are your thoughts on these two possibilities, and which one do you think would be more prevalent in the thinking of the United Nations today?
Well, first of all, we don't have a United Nations. We never had a United Nations. The United Nations was created. It's a fact. Listen.
No, it's true.
It was created so that people will not go to war. And the first people who started a war were the Arabs against Israel in 1948.
Right.
And nobody said anything, by the way.
Yes.
Nobody said anything. By the way, something else irrefutable. From 1949 till 1967, a long period of 18 years, there were no Israelis in the West Bank or Gaza. There were no settlements, and there were no so-called Jewish occupation. During these 18 years, although Israel had agreed to the cessation of hostilities, the Arabs were mercilessly and relentlessly terrorizing Israelis. Why did these so-called Palestinians not declare their independence after 1949, but allow themselves to be occupied, I repeat, occupied, by the Jordanians in the West Bank and the Egyptians in Gaza for 18 years without a single complaint? Nobody asked the questions. Nobody. 18 years, nobody said anything. Only when the Arabs ignominiously lost in 1967 war, all of a sudden there is occupation. By the way, when you speak about occupation, is when you take land from a state. There was no state in the West Bank or Gaza. Not a recognized state by anybody. None. So how did Israel occupy? She took from the Jordanians what the Jordanians took from the mandate. She took from Gaza and the Egyptians what the mandate allowed it for the Arabs, so-called Palestinians. So there was no occupation. There is no illegal occupation in the West Bank and Gaza. This is all bullcrap.
And there we're going to leave it, IQ. There is no illegal occupation, and I think what you just stated in this segment was extraordinarily helpful for all who were listening. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after this break, we're going to continue with IQ. We're going to shift over to the United States side. We're going to talk to him about the media's hatred for Donald Trump and what to expect going forward. Are they going to relentlessly hound this president all through his administration or not? We'll talk about it.
We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap Weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute? Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another Stand in the Gap Minute in this month's theme of New Beginnings. This month, we've learned that both God and the Word were in the beginning, that Jesus is both the Word and Creator God. But in Revelation 22:15, the Bible says, Jesus is also the Alpha and the Omega. He's not only the beginning, he's the ending. Not just the first, but the last. Alpha and Omega stress the sovereignty of God. First and the last emphasizes that God is the cause and the goal of all of history. The beginning and the end emphasizes that what God started, He'll finish. If you know Christ as Savior, be confident. What God started with the plan of redemption and the promise of eternal life with Him, He'll finish. The author of time who wrote the book will write the last chapter. Is your name in the book? The American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to find out how you can help. Well, friends, our history lesson turned out to be quite an eye-opener, wouldn't you say? If our friend IQ is right, and he is, about what he's saying, then Israel cannot be accused of illegally occupying parts of Palestine. So what does this mean? And what really happened during the years between 1948 and the British Mandate and the Six-Day War in 1967, where Israel reasserted its right to parts of Palestine, including the Golan Heights, the West Bank, and parts of the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt? We're going to continue our history lesson now as IQ explains these events and concludes with what the real problem is concerning Arab-Israeli conflict.
Well, as we continue today with our special guest, IQ Al-Rasuli, author of the trilogy of books, Unveiling Islam. IQ, before we go to this matter of the media here with Donald Trump, because I know you have some very specific thoughts about that that I want to pose to you. We were talking among ourselves here during the break. And about the significance of the statement that you just made in the segment before, about what actually happened there during those 18 years, after the formation of Israel, when Jordan and Egypt actually occupied that territory. State that again, as it demonstrates a gigantic hypocrisy of this current narrative that accuses Israel of being occupiers when it wasn't quite that way. Could you just restate that again? I think that was a significant point worth stating again.
I'm really so glad you're asking me again, because it is so important. I repeat it again. From 1949 till 1967, a period of 18 years, there were no Israelis in the West Bank or Gaza. There were no settlements, and there was no so-called Jewish occupation. Why did these so-called Palestinians not declare their independence after 1949, but allow themselves to be occupied? I repeat again, occupied by the Jordanians in the West Bank and the Egyptians in Gaza without a single complaint. Why did the media, academia, clergy and politicians in the West not mention that occupation and oppression? Did you know not even once during the whole of 18 years? Not once. Why did the United Nations have a single resolution about it in all of 18 years? It's a simple question. Why did this allegedly proud and ancient people, so-called Palestinians, wait until after the Arabs suffered their ignominious and devastating defeat in the Six-Day War of 1967 at the hands of Israel, did they? All of a sudden, and miraculously, discover their alleged peoplehood and nationhood. The so-called Palestinians have only one publicly and repeatedly declared charter and one motivation, the destruction of Israel and Israelis. So how do you want to make peace with somebody who wants you dead? I want to know.
Well, see, in that IQ, again, well stated. That's exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu said. What's wrong with the people on the West? Why don't they get it? Why don't they get it that these folks, you can't make peace with them when, as you stated, their only effort and goal is really the total destruction and annihilation of Israel? But IQ, and we're not on the track we're going here right now with the agenda, but I want to further this with you a little bit. This sets up with the UN going down the road of this false narrative and accusing Israel of occupying when, as you clearly stated, they are not occupiers. The occupiers are the Jordanians and the Egyptians, for which there was no complaint. This, though, does something to those Palestinians. This UN resolution, IQ, I have got to think, has got to put some kind of wind in their sails, give them some kind of justification, perhaps, to make a move against Israel, perhaps in this window of time, even maybe before Donald Trump is inaugurated. Where do you think this is going to go?
It won't happen. I'll tell you why. Syria is finished. Syria is self-destructing. Iraq is in trouble. Egypt has a problem. So which movement is going to come? Who is going to move? The only people who will start to move are either Hezbollah in the north or Hamas in the south, which is Gaza. But Israel prepared for them. And this time, they are not going to do it with just precision bombardment. I promise you, this time is going to be catastrophic for the Muslims and the Arabs. They had no intention of being, by the way, after 1967 war, the day after the 67 war was finished, the Israelis said to the Arabs, let's make peace. We will return the territory, but we'll make peace. On the month of August of 1967, so that was June, July, August, 2 months later, in the Khartoum Declaration, all the Arab nations said, no peace with Israel, no negotiation with Israel, and no recognition of Israel, only its destruction. Now tell me, what do you think Israelis are going to do? They're going to defend themselves. If the Hamas or Hezbollah start a war, they will regret it, I promise you. Hmm. It won't last long, and they will regret it. Because the Arabs cannot move. There are no Arab armies now. In the Yemen, the Saudis are fighting. The Saudis cannot move. The Iraqis can barely take a single city. One little city. It's called Mosul. They haven't been able to finish it completely. How are they going to move against Israel? Are you serious? Not you. I mean, is the United Nations serious? The United Nations is not united. 28% of the United Nations is Islamic countries. 28%.
Hmm.
No, sorry, 28% is, yes, Islamic and Arab countries, 28%. And they bribe the Latin Americans, they bribe the Africans with money, so you've got 70 to 80%. How is it conceivable that a small country of 8,000 square miles is blamed for troubles of 10 million square miles of territories? How is that possible?
It is an amazing IQ. It's an amazing thing, and I want to just tell you right now. I'm getting comments and texts from listeners across the country here, really, who are listening to this broadcast right now, saying, "Great point, powerful point that is being made here today." And I want to thank you for making this very, very clear. But see, this is why there is such an issue here, and why Benjamin Netanyahu can be so clear in what he's stating, what's wrong with you, and what gives hope, I think, to a lot of people when a Donald Trump comes right up after the UN vote and says, UN, you're off base, Netanyahu, stand strong. When I get in, you're going to have a real friend. I'm going to stand with you. I mean, this is making a statement to these United Nations and changing the whole world's view toward Israel, IQ. There's something significant happening here, don't you think?
Correct, but you see, why do Americans support Israel? It's not because they love the Jews or something. No, look, this is not the agenda. They love Israel because Israel is a democracy. It is the only democracy, by the way, between the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. Did you know that? The only democracy between the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. That's a fact. It's not a fiction. And they love the Israelis because they stand up to fight for themselves. How do you think America was created? They stood up to fight. They stood up against... Who were the first people to stop the Barbary Coast Arabs and Muslims from finishing slavery? America.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think...
Not the British Navy, not the French Navy, the Americans, a small republic recently born.
Yeah,
they sent the Marines.
IQ, you said that the reason why the Americans love Israel is because of the fact that they are the only democracy between the Atlantic and the Indian Oceans. But I can see that perhaps from the governmental or the secular perspective, and I would agree with that. But do you also feel, or would you also agree to the fact that the actual innate purpose, foundation that this nation, the United States of America, was founded on, being biblical truth, has something to play into that as well, as it ties into Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3?
100% I agree with you. Everything that the forefathers built was built on the Bible. Everything.
IQ, I mean, I just want to...
propaganda. This is fact.
IQ,
look
I want to jump.
Emblems of the United States. Look at the presidential emblems. Look at what they wrote on in the Constitution. It's all biblical. These people believed in God. In God we trust. But the Obama administration does not want to trust in God.
Mm-mm, no.
Because they want to trust in Allah.
Mm-hmm. IQ, what you have shared in the last two segments is about as powerful as anything you have ever shared on this program, and what you share is always powerful. But I just want to thank you. I want to thank you on behalf of the American people for laying out something that I don't think any of our listeners probably has ever heard anywhere else, and that is from 1949 to 1967, 18 years, there was not a single complaint until Israel won that Six-Day War, and then the complaint started. That is a point, gentlemen, that needs to be underscored over and over and over again. And IQ, I want to thank you for your courage in telling it like it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you for thanking me. I always give you news that the news media will never give you.
Well, you're right about that.
Politically incorrect.
We agree to that one, brother.
Well, IQ, let me just remind our listeners, I mean, what we try to do on this program regularly is to bring the news of the day from a biblically worldview perspective and a constitutional perspective. These two things, because they are linked to truth, are the only way you can approach the issues of the day and come to a sound, believable position. We talked yesterday on this program about fake news, and we talked about the intent of the controlled media and what they're doing. We're opposed to the fake news. We're all about the true news, and that's what we're trying to do here on this program today and every day. So IQ, you're a part of it. Thank you for it. And ladies and gentlemen, when you come back in this next segment, we're going to wrap this up. And I'm not quite sure where we're going to go, tell you the truth, so stay with us, and I'm going to let you know as soon as we come back after this break.
At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum. Academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. This is your host, Sam Rohr, and we're about to wrap up things with a final selection now from our daily program, concluding our discussion on the Arab-Israeli conflict recently brought to the forefront of the news by a vote from the United Nations right before Christmas, December 23rd, the beginning of Hanukkah, condemning Israel's activities and increasing pressure there for a two-state solution. I'd like to add here that the information you're hearing on this program is rarely discussed in detail like this anywhere else. If you like what you're hearing, could I encourage you to tune in to our broadcast every day online by visiting our website at standinthegapradio.com or look for a station in your area by visiting our station's listing page. Let's go now to this final part and consider why America should continue to support Israel and what will happen should they be forced to defend themselves against their enemies.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you that we start this program with a very clear direction of where we're going to go. And sometimes we move and adjust based on sometimes what we hear from you. And we don't always take questions and answers on the program just simply because a one-hour program makes it tough to do that. So pray with us. Maybe the program will extend to 2 or 3 hours one day here.
But, wow.
you never know, gentlemen. You never know. But as we take these texts and we hear from you on people texting to us, we'll make some adjustments as we did today because of this discussion about Israel. I am going to go to one more question to you on this matter of Israel, IQ, and then I am going to go to the matter of the media and Donald Trump. But I want to ask you this one question here again because it was a matter of discussion between some of us online here during the break, and that is this. Do you believe that Bibi Netanyahu, that the leadership in Israel, maybe IDF folks, whatever, do you believe that they sense God's hand of protection upon them as a nation? Or do you think that they are trusting in their military technological superiority? What do you see is giving them the courage to really stand up, one grain in the sand, more or less, compared to the millions of opponents around them?
Believe it or not, they believe in God. They believe they are destined exactly as the Bible said. There's no question. Let me finalize about the Arab and the Middle East. The Arabs and so-called Palestinians never missed a chance to miss a chance for peace with Israel. Because as their charter publicly declared, that they never have any intention to do so, and they have refused to do so for the last 40 years. Dear listeners, the Arab-Israeli conflict is only a microcosm of the Islamic agenda for non-Muslims of humanity, called kuffar, infidels, currently 80% of us. Even if Israel did not exist, the publicly and aggressively declared intention of every Muslim for the last 1,400 years has been that Allah Sharia must subjugate or exterminate all of us, non-Muslim humanity. Kerry and Obama are guilty of criminal deception and duplicity for having been siding with the Muslims against both Christians and Jews. Back to you, sir.
You couldn't make that any clearer than I'm not even going to ask you to clarify. I'm just going to let that hang right there, IQ, because it was that clear. Let me go now to the matter of the media and Donald Trump. We got an inauguration coming up here not too long from now. Some time ago, you made a reference to me in a note that you sent to me that you mentioned that the media has experienced a downfall. Now, clearly, the media, all through the effort in the recent elections in Europe, certainly with the UK's Brexit vote, they called it really wrong. Here in the United States, the media was incessantly anti-Trump in every way, and they called it wrong. What do you mean by downfall? Do you think that the media is sensing that they really called it wrong and they go back and go at it again? Or what? Explain that to me, if you would.
Well, it's a meltdown. They are in a meltdown. They're mentally and psychologically gone. Look at them. Donald Trump won a landslide victory against odds that you couldn't possibly believe. When he started, the odds were 130-1 against him. 130-1. And the 5 hours before the final results, they were saying, oh, no, he is going to lose, and Hillary will win. God's hand went in to win. If you don't believe in God, that's your problem. Not you. I mean, whoever's listening.
Right.
I believe.
Believe me, we understand. We know why he won.
When I say you, because the word you is dangerous. So right. I honestly believe it was destiny. There's no, in my mind, none whatsoever. The odds were so enormous against him. But he stood up. He is a patriot, not a nationalist. A patriot. And those in Europe who look up at him, by the way, they look up at him. The European opposition celebrated when Donald Trump won. They celebrated as if they were Americans because they wish it upon their own nations. So, the news media are now irrelevant. Donald Trump, according to figures, depending who is writing it. On Twitter alone, he has between 18 million to 40 million people who are following him. He doesn't need the news media. Why do Americans need the news media, who have been duplicitous, malicious, completely disinforming, misinforming, and doing it maliciously? Who needs them? What, CNN?
He has his own news media, though, IQ. You know, he tweets. He has established
tweet,
his own
18
news.
18 million people. Good God, that's amazing. One tweet, 18 million yep. people. I don't need a newspaper.
He's right, guys. IQ mm-hmm. is right. He's 100% mm-hmm. correct in what you're saying, IQ. You are absolutely correct.
And when he just tweets a few words, look how the whole country moves. My wife and I
absolutely.
Were talking about that the other day. The whole country moves when he just comes
look
up with a tweet.
Dow Jones. My God, look at your Dow Jones. 20,000. It's coming to 20,000. Is it,
yep.
has it reached
20? Soon.
Unbelievable. Yep. It's unbelievable. And they were predicting, literally predicting, with Donald Trump, if Donald Trump is elected, it will be a catastrophe.
That's
they did the same thing mm-hmm. with the Brexit. They said the same thing about England. It's not a catastrophe. Taking your own life in your hand is the best thing you can do for you, yourself. Mm. You don't depend on anybody. You must
you
never
know, fellas,
depend on anybody. You have to depend on yourself.
I just have to throw this in, fellas. You know, we prayed that God would give us somebody that would bring this nation back. Do you see a divine power working through Donald Trump?
Yes. Honestly, I mean it. I'm not a very religious person, but I don't have to be religious. There is, because the odds were so enormous, and the man never once apologized. He never once said, I'm going to backtrack. Never. They dumped on him hundreds of millions of lies, and I mean literally hundreds, because they repeated it in every newspaper, in every television system. Hundreds mm-hmm. of millions. And yet mm-hmm. the American people saw through it. This is where divine intervention comes. Yes. American people woke up. At least enough of them to vote Obama out.
And I think the discussion here is very good. It ties in as we wrap up this week here. And I mentioned earlier about the whole concept of fake news, the idea that people have had it, they've been filled with this, and they are seeking other directions. At the end of the day, whether it's a tweet or it's not, we believe that it's the Holy Spirit who communicates truth that made the difference in this election. And Gary, I'm going to ask you here, we've been closing the program in prayer. We want to close this program praying for some of these things that we mentioned here today, if you could, as we approach the close of this program this week. Could you do that, please?
Certainly. Father, as we pray, we just ask for one particular thing during this particular prayer, and that is that truth will prevail in the United States of America. Whether it's in relationship to Israel or the economy or who is in a particular position or even in the church and our Christian homes and families. Father, we need a revival, a return back to biblical truth. And it is my prayer that as we go into 2017, we will see that clearly and we will give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies Amen. And gentlemen, we thank you for being with us today. IQ Avrasouli, thank you for calling in from overseas and giving us a great program, great insights. God bless you as you go forth. Dave and Gary, I hope you guys have a great weekend as we approach it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you like the program, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. Leave us a note. Help us with financial contributions. We need your help as we try to continue to put forth truth before the American people. God bless you all. Stand in the gap for truth where you are this weekend.
You've been listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, a ministry production of the American Pastors Network. As I mentioned earlier, if you like what you're hearing, you can listen to our daily program online by visiting our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can listen live daily to the Stand in the Gap Today program from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time right there on the site, or you can look for a station in your area on our station's listings page. Now, we also have a one-minute program called Stand in the Gap Minute, which is a daily reflection on spiritual truths designed to help you in your walk with God. All three programs, Stand in the Gap Minute, Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend can be found at standinthegapradio.com. Just click on the name of the program that you're interested in to access the archives. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about the American Pastors Network and you're wondering what we're all about. APN is a national network of pastors dedicated to the authority of Scripture, salvation by faith in Christ alone, and who have the courage and the conviction to preach the whole counsel of God. Our mission is to identify, encourage, educate, and equip pastors and church leaders and believers to stand in the gap for truth, and our pastors to teach the people how to be effective salt and light for Christ. We specifically seek to encourage pastors to lead the way in matters of truth, righteous living, and in pursuing revival in our land. You know, we live in a day and age where the truth is sold on the street corners in exchange for political correctness, cultural permissiveness, and temporal satisfaction. But the Word of God tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. It's time that truth is no longer up for sale. It's time for God's people to engage and actively pursue righteousness, not only in their individual and spiritual level and lives, but with the political and social and every level of life. And we're here to help. Specifically, our network has a goal of establishing state chapters of courageous and obedient pastors in all 50 states. Currently, we have networks in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Missouri, with over a half dozen more poised to join us right now. It costs about $10,000 to launch a new state chapter. So your financial gift of any amount will go a long way towards helping us to accomplish this critical mission. And where chapters exist, pastors are strengthened and the culture is being impacted. Now, as a way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount, we'll send to you the Patriot's Essential Pocket Guide containing a copy of the documents that outline our freedoms as written by our founding fathers. And for your gift of $250 or more, we'll send to you a beautiful leather-bound edition of the Founders Bible with the American Pastors Network logo stamped on it, and in addition to the Essential Pocket Guide. This Bible is an excellent resource that I know you'll use time and time again. Filled with key documents from our nation's history, pictures and prayers from our founding fathers, and much more, this truly beautiful Bible with the APN logo in gold is a true keepsake. It would be a wonderful gift also for anyone you know who loves the Word of God and loves our country. Now, to give, you can call us at 610-901-3607, or you can go to our website at standinthegapradio.com and press the donate button. Now, to write out a check, make it out to APN and send your gift to American Pastors Network, 83 West Main Street, Suite 3, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. America is at a crossroads. God's people hold the key, and the pulpits of America must lead the way. Would you help us at the American Pastors Network to stand in the gap for truth now? We hope to hear from you this week. But until next time, would you stand in the gap for truth where you are?
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607. To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in next week at this same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.